to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel
and Monica.
And we are super happy that you're here today. I always say super or something. Super happy or super excited. But we are. We are happy that you're listening today. We are happy for you to be here and taking the time to download this onto your device of choice and pressing play. So we are very thankful for our listeners today. And we were just chit-chatting about being a leader or a follower. So what were you when you were a little younger, leader or a follower?
I think it depended on the instance.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was a PK. So in the church realm, you know, it was the only time that I was ever asked, picked first on any kind of sports team was like when we were going to play Bible baseball. So in that realm,
you're like, I got this.
I got this. There was so much pressure. So I think in that realm, I was a leader. I think I did well in school. So I was seen as a leader sometimes in that avenue. But I'm such a pleaser that I could easily be a follower and talked into things. So a little bit about it. It depends, I guess, on my comfort level and my confidence level. I have a friend at work that when I was a new grad, she'd been a nurse for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a lot alike, and we work together again now. And so we kind of joked the other day that, you know, because she doesn't like to be in charge of anything, and I really don't like to be in charge of anything at work. And she was like, I lead people to follow. And I was like, that's what she did with me.
I'm more of like a bulldozer, I think. I just come in and I have to pull back the reins definitely and try to. When I was younger, of course, I didn't. When I was in high school, I walked through life like a bulldozer, just go. And if somebody wanted to follow me, fine. If not, I was going to do my own thing. And I've really had to temper that. And I've learned how to. Of course, there's still some of that in me. I tested in missionary training as a shark. Everybody had an animal. And so my animal that was assigned to me, there were four. One was like a lion, a lamb. And then, of course, I got the shark. There were only four sharks in a sea of about 60 of us.
I think I would have been a lamb.
And so I think the lion was considered the best animal. And you didn't really want to be a shark. That's kind of what they told us. But they try to give us the positive and negatives of the shark. And so, but I'm definitely a tempered shark now, I think. But I don't mind taking charge of things. And if I want that, I want to be the manager.
I like to be given a task.
And you're good. You're great at that.
I would rather not organize something.
Uh-huh.
I would rather be given a job in the organization.
But you're great. You're great because you complete it. You complete everything.
With all the angst.
So, listeners, what are you? Are you a leader or a follower? Are you more like a bulldozer like me? A lamb like Monica? We want to know. Write us and tell us or leave us a message and or comment underneath this podcast on Facebook and let us know what you are. So, speaking of great leaders, we're talking about Jesus Christ and the high priestly prayer. And how
he was a lion.
He's the lion and the lamb.
He is. He's not a shark.
He's not a shark. No, but the best leader. The best leader and someone who showed us how to follow, too.
Right.
So right. Here he is.
It's the whole package.
Scene set, if you remember, he's in the upper room. He just gave the disciples the best sermon of their entire lifetimes. And then he goes into the prayer of prayers.
The prayer of prayers, yes.
And we covered that Jesus Christ prayed for himself. And now, set the scene, Jesus Christ prays for his disciples.
Let's pick up where we left off last week, John 17, 6 through 19. That's a lot of verses.
Yes, it is.
We can do it. Verse 6 says, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. You gave.
Uh-huh. He chose.
The Lord chose. Uh-huh. The disciples.
Yeah.
God gave them as a gift.
As a gift.
To Jesus. Jesus was specific here, who he was praying about. To those whom you have given me out of the world. During his carnation. Not his carnation. That's a flower. During his incarnation, the disciples.
Yeah.
They were handpicked by God, who has given his chosen to the Redeemer. And then beyond the disciples, the rest of us that the Father has sovereignly given him. And we will talk more about that next week.
Yeah. And isn't that kind of a wonderful thought that fishermen and tax collectors and those are the people that he chose. He chose to redeem them. And he gave them to Jesus as a gift, these people that were low-class citizens, not the famous people.
And it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around that, I think, in a culture where you matter based on your productivity or what you can do for somebody else.
Yep. And that is the truth. I mean, I even value that. That's a value for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I value people who are productive and things like that. So it's hard to fight against. Mm-hmm. It's hard to fight against
natural.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you think about who Jesus would choose if he were here today, I mean, I don't know. That's interesting.
I could think of some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that also points out that we are not as high and mighty as we think we are.
No. We're not. We're not.
We are the tax collector, and we are just as flawed. And so I think it's comforting, too, that Jesus chose those. So if he can choose somebody like a tax collector who was hated by his own people, then he can choose me.
Yeah. It's very encouraging. Very.
Jesus says here that the disciples had embraced the essential truths. They knew that he was the Messiah.
They knew. And yet they also abandoned him in his greatest hour of need. And they also doubted. Mm-hmm. And they also lacked love and denied him. Mm-hmm. They knew, and yet totally and completely flawed human beings.
They're us.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're us.
And I think that it shows in God's grace when we see these men and, you know, the women that were with them. It's a reminder that we don't have to get our act together first.
That's true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's comforting.
That is comforting.
Yeah. And we see that all throughout Scripture, you know, especially in the genealogy of Jesus, all of the people that God used, even before the disciples, all that he used to get to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think about our first term as missionaries and how much we screwed up a lot. And yet we still saw people come to Christ and we still saw some lives change despite what we were doing.
Right.
But God also used us to accomplish that work. And I stand back in awe now because all I see when I look back or what my heart has a tendency to do is feel guilty for the things either I didn't do or didn't do right or well or... you know, when my sin nature got in the way. And yet, he still worked in the lives of people that we minister to.
That our sin nature gets in the way of us, but it cannot get in the way of God.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that a word?
Mm-hmm. That's a word.
Woo-hoo. That's a word. Maybe we should change that.
I did make
that up just now.
Wow. You're smart.
What did I say again?
I don't remember. I have mom brain. It was cool. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to meme it.
Well, good. Good.
Our sin nature doesn't get in the way of God doing the work.
Right. It gets in the way of us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when he says that he is not praying for the world, you know, that's the loss and it's the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
This is reminding the disciples specifically that in this moment that he is talking about them. So there was no mistake. They had to have known that he was specifically speaking to God the Father.
Must have been thinking, what? God gave us to him? No, that's not.
Right.
That can't be.
Right.
Is Jesus really praying this?
I think, you know, we talk about giving ourselves to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it really takes the pressure off. We were prepared for obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, well, that's a whole other topic.
Yes, that is.
Picking up verse 10, everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine. And that's Jesus talking to God, mind you. Mm-hmm. And I am glorified in them, the disciples. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Mm.
So the unity of the persons in the Trinity,
mm-hmm,
is the pattern for the unity with Christ and unity in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And we talked about last week that we shouldn't be compartmentalizing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be compartmentalizing Jesus and Christians. We need to see that we are united.
Yes.
And there is a unity of purpose and nature in the body of Christ, the invisible church.
Yeah.
Yeah. The perfect unity to be evident of the day of Christ already forms and shapes God's people. You know, it should be clear in the church that what is seen by non-believers, so that the world may believe and know that the Father sent the Son. But if you get your information from social media, is that what we're seeing?
No, I think social media gives Christians a bad rap. Also, we are revealing our true colors, though. Some people.
We're falling for it, hook, mm-hmm, line, and sinker.
And I do see the Christian movement as a whole as a very positive.
Oh, for sure.
God honoring and glorifying thing. Mm-hmm. I think the devil's doing his level best,
mm-hmm,
to draw us further and further from Christ.
Right.
And to get in the way of that unity.
But we are spiritually united. And we shouldn't be a distraction to the world and to ourselves, as we are often separated by divisions and infighting and arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to remind ourselves what the church's role is. And that's to make Christ known and to draw others to him and not to be a negative witness.
So, folks, it doesn't matter if you have pews or chairs in your church.
Mm-mm. Or a steeple, or if you're a warehouse.
That's not something we should be arguing about.
Mm-mm.
At all.
No. No, for sure.
What are we supposed to be known for?
We're supposed to be known for being united to Christ and to point people back to him. We're supposed to be a reflection.
Exactly.
You know, Christ revealed the beauty of God to humanity. Think about that. Christ revealed the beauty of God to all of humanity. And his body, the church, must do the same.
Yes.
Yeah. And we can't do that if we're divided.
No, we can't.
I'm not saying we can't disagree. I mean, I think we need to love and forgive and listen. We need to call out each other's sin,
mm-hmm,
for sure. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about my own marriage. I've been married for 24 years. I couldn't possibly be old enough to be married that long. I couldn't possibly. But I am united to my husband, and I'm dedicated to his success, his flourishing, his well-being, his health. But we don't always agree on everything.
That's true.
We have disagreements.
I don't agree with my husband on anything.
but we work on those. And we know that we are for each other and not against each other.
Right.
And we want to make each other better. Each other and our union. And that's what the bride of Christ is called to do. It's hard.
I would say it is very, very hard. It's not even... just think about how impossible it is to get two churches in the same town to work together to do one thing.
Right.
Very difficult. Mm-hmm. Extremely difficult task, because everybody wants to do one thing their mm-hmm. own way. And not only that, but we want to get the glory, because that's what we're...
Mm-hmm. Well, and the disciples were a great example of that, weren't they?
Right.
I mean, think of if Christ left them for a minute.
They were arguing. Right.
And then you got, you got James and John's mom said, "Hey, Jesus, how about my boys be right next to you in heaven? Right. Let them be the best."
Yep.
I mean, their mom got involved. And I just think, a marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. What did I say, like over 50%, 60% of marriages end in divorce?
Yep.
Because it's hard to reconcile your own thoughts and ideas and positions for someone else.
Right.
But that's a pretty good example. You know, over and over in Scripture, Jesus, refers to, the church as his bride.
Yep, he does.
And he prayed for it. Jesus prayed for the unity, for the body of Christ to be united. Mm-hmm. So don't we?
It's an amazing thing.
So do we think it really won't come to fruition if Jesus prayed for it himself?
Yeah, and I think the people that are, we can see that in work and in motion for the people that are striving to do that.
Yeah.
In the right way.
And I think that a lot of the people that are kind of at each other, mm-hmm. We can get distracted by them.
Right.
And we miss all of the unifying things that the body of Christ is doing around the world.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I mean, think about the fact that we're seeing, some things that are discouraging with Christians on the internet. It is very distracting. And think about that, how it's not unifying anybody. Mm-mm. What's going on. It's not bringing harmony. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Jesus prayed for. He prayed that we would be together in him. Mm-hmm. But when we're so concentrated and so focused on pushing our own agendas,
right,
and we're not putting Jesus Christ at the center, there's no way that we can have unity without Jesus right there.
Jesus's agenda was to glorify God through suffering on the cross, mm-hmm. to redeem a people to himself.
But I think people are forgetting that. And what we're doing is really fighting for our rights, mm-hmm. for comfort for us.
I forget that.
Yeah. Because that's essentially what we're doing. Oh, this is uncomfortable. This is challenging me. Mm-hmm. This particular law is going against Christianity, and my comfort level says it's wrong, and so I'm going to fight to the death.
Right.
And to the detriment of tearing down other people, mm-hmm. so that I can have my way and be comfortable.
And, and this isn't even just well-known authors and preachers and stuff that are disagreeing on the Twitter, in the Twitter sphere.
On the Twitter.
In the great Twitter sphere that, do you ever get on Twitter?
Rarely.
Mm-hmm. I'm always way behind. But anyway, but it's, when you see like the arguing in your own local body of believers, mm-hmm. it just rips you apart.
Yeah.
So, it definitely is a reminder to me to die to myself and be for my brothers and sisters in Christ and not against them, even if they don't agree with everything. Which, right?
They must agree.
We'll work on that. Woe to us who fight against what Christ prayed for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the hardest realities to face in all of that.
And if you're a person who hasn't gotten there yet and just didn't realize before today that that is something that, mm-hmm. that God wants, start today. It's okay.
Start today. If you just badmouthed your brother or sister in Christ in the Twitter sphere.
On Facebook.
On
Instagram.
Via text, whatever.
We can move on from that. There's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's love there.
Well, right.
Hopefully.
Well.
In the body of
Christ. We are called to forgive,
right,
as Christ forgave us. So
what's next? What else did he pray for the disciples?
He said, starting in verse 12, he said, "While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name and that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled." Not one of those in Christ can be lost. You know, we see earlier in John 10 where Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand."
Except the son of destruction, which except, was Judas.
Never really in there to begin with.
That's who he's talking about, right?
He was, yes, Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which, that can be a whole other...
That's going to be in our Bible study that we're going to write.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we have to know that as part of God's plan through all of this, Judas was placed there.
That can be a difficult thing to grasp,
which
too.
Which is hard for God. Yes. And that's okay. That's why we continue to read and we pray and we grow.
Right.
So then he says, "Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Jesus said the world a lot.
Yeah. Kind of almost like a long way to pray the Great Commission almost over them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing here.
Yes.
It's like I'm commissioning them to go out into the world, protect them. And God did for a time.
For a time, yes. The world hated them because they are not of the world. You know, Jesus said his disciples would be hated because he was hated. We don't want to be hated.
No, we want to be loved.
We want to be loved. We want to be good.
We want to be loved.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I do too.
Uh-huh. But so you think Jesus wanted his disciples to overhear this prayer on their behalf to encourage them, to bring hope, to preserve their joy. Mm-hmm. He asked God to keep them, draw them near, keep them from temptation, because the evil one is near. He reminded them that the world isn't there.
Right.
I think if there's ever been a more appropriate time in my lifetime to be reminded that this world is not my home, it is right now.
Yeah, I would agree. That and 9/11 was a big one for me. That was around the time I was 18, 19 or something like that. And then this one is another. I think we were pretty comfortable from then till now. And I think it, but this time is a little different, and really my eyes being open that we are in a war against ourselves, it feels like, mm-hmm. with each other. There isn't this common enemy out there in another country
that we can band together and fight.
Right. This is a lot of things that have been happening on the inside of people coming out, and it's not been pretty.
Right.
It's been very difficult to try to work.
Well, and Scripture tells us that the light will expose the darkness.
That's true.
And Jesus is the light.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is he exposing
some
darkness. But I think too, we can be comforted in that when the darkness is exposed, that the light overcomes it.
Yes.
And he's already overcome the world. So all of this that, you know, that we're struggling with, he's already overcome it.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so comforting. I think my husband and I were talking, John and I were talking about how it's very uncomfortable right now, and how it is a little terrifying, but that we don't need to worry because we know that God's got this. And even if things really start going downhill and everybody's worst fears are realized, that God is still here and he's still good. And he's still working it out, so we just have to trust. And we'll talk about that.
What did you say a few weeks ago? God is God is God is God.
Uh-huh. God is God is God is God. Yeah. That's right.
Well, I think another thing, too, for those of us who have children, you know, we've seen, I've heard a lot of older people say, I wouldn't want to have kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is scary to think of all that could happen and how our kids can get involved or be sucked into or what have you. But I think we also have to be reminded that, number one, God doesn't make mistakes. Number two, God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And he chose for them to be in this time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that going around.
Oh, have you?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't me.
that God has chosen them to be, our kids to be here during this time. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an interesting and challenging thought. But it's
very true.
It
doesn't mean
that
it won't be, mm-hmm. that it means it's going to be like rainbows and unicorns for them. It means it could be very hard.
Yep. And maybe God's preparing them for a hard time.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. going through this hard time. But, I mean, what these words must have meant to the disciples, everything, that he would pray.
Right.
Pray those words for them. Pray a word of protection, mm-hmm. over them. How blessed their hearts must have been
to feel that. Been their source of comfort, mm-hmm. for 3 years. Think of the times that he delivered them from storms. And they knew all that he could accomplish because they saw him do all of these great miracles. So even when they had doubts, they knew that he was able to protect them. And here he was leaving. And so for them to hear him pray to the Lord, protect them in my absence. Like, you gave them to me, I protected them, I'd lost no one except for the son of destruction, a.k.a. Judas.
I still, see, if I was a disciple, I still would have been scared.
I would clearly be
like, sanctify them? Why? Why? How? What are you going to do?
Do you think back then they were afraid to pray for patience? Isn't that what we're afraid to pray for? Oh, don't pray for patience.
Don't pray to sanctify me.
Don't pray to sanctify me. I'm fine. I'm fine.
What do you mean you're going to sanctify?
I thought we were good.
But they weren't, because then they, as many times as he told them that he was leaving and, you know, mm-hmm. they still didn't grasp, mm-mm. that concept. I wouldn't have either. I wouldn't have gotten it either. So we say, oh, it must have been very obvious for the disciples too.
No,
it wasn't, even though he
told
us.
But I think that in their dark, you know, when they had dark hours after this, because we know that they all had deep suffering. Deep, deep suffering, and martyrdom. Mm-hmm. But being able to rely on these words. He was reminding them in their sanctification that they had been set apart. They'd been transformed by truth, mm-hmm. for the sake of a huge mission from God.
Yep.
I think we lose sight of that our mission is from God. Like, we are here. There's a reason why on the day of our redemption that we are not just, like, swooped on out of here.
Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, the work that God left them to do, we're a result of that work.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
And we have the hindsight for that.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't.
They could have never known.
Mm-mm.
And now they're like, oh my goodness, all y'all are like the Church of Corinth.
Yeah. This is not what we meant.
Get it right. Small groups only.
The government wants you to social distance. It won't kill you. You know what will kill you?
You better not say that on here. We have too many people that think different things.
And you know what? Kidding. And that's fine. That's fine.
We embrace that. We embrace the people's different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
We do.
Well, that was great. And now I can't wait for next week when we talk about Jesus praying for all believers. So please tune into that.
If I could remind you of two things that are a source of comfort, that the body of Christ is and will be united to bring God, mm-hmm. glory for the sake of his mission, and that we are set apart by the truth in this world to reveal Christ's glory to the world. And it's an honor.
It is an honor. Amen. Well, thinking about comfort then, what is something that brings you comfort? What do you, when you want to be comforted, what do you kind of, do you have a pillow or blanket?
I like a blanket. I don't have to have a particular one, but I do like to, you know, lay on the couch with my feet up in a snuggly bit. I like to be covered up.
I like to have my dog.
I do like to snuggle with the dogs. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. I mean, they're on my nerves a lot, but when they're snuggling with me, they're not.
They're super sweet. That's one of my mm-hmm. one of my comforts. And then I also like my heated blanket. I do. Mm-hmm. I think it makes my legs feel nice and toasty.
I like my heated seat warmers. Not the heated, they're just seat warmers. They're not heated seat warmers, right? Because that's right.
Heated seat warmers.
As opposed to cold seat warmers. I don't know. But I like the seat warmers in my car.
Ugh, we're so spoiled. Heated blankets and heated seat warmers.
We like the heat.
That's what keeps us comfortable is warmth.
Yes. Hot cup of coffee.
Hot cup of coffee.
By the fire. A warm blanket. So if I could have a blanket with a cup of coffee by the fire with my dogs on top of me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm, I like that. I like to turn on the fireplace, too, mm-hmm. when there's a little chill. Mm-hmm. You know, the house is around 70 degrees, but it still feels chilly. That's what I like, too. Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, what keeps you comfortable? Let us know. Let us know your thoughts. We would love to know your thoughts mm-hmm. on what keeps you comfortable besides, of course, the very holy answer. Jesus keeps me comfortable. He does. And this prayer is a comforting prayer, and we will be continuing it next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. We are on Facebook under I'll Bring the Bible and Instagram under, guess what? I'll Bring the Bible. And you can go there anytime you want, and you can find some encouragement daily. And we would love for you to follow our pages and to subscribe to this podcast, because we would love to have more listeners. Yep. So, and spread the word. All right. Well, we will see you next time on I'll Bring the Bible. Bye.
Bye.
All righty. And our God is the Lion. You know the song?
No.
Yes, you do.
Or you would have to sing more of it because I didn't
get... The Lion of Judah, the land that was slain. Don't make me keep singing. Every knee will bow before
yeah.
the Lion.
Okay, yeah. There you go.